for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
You would and turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. We are in a study that's entitled Five Things Your Spouse Needs From You. Five Things Your Spouse Needs From You. Tonight we're going to talk specifically about the willingness to forgive. I said that there is power in ministry, and this is actually an acrostic of the word power. We said, number one, if you're going to have power in your marriage, you need to have purity in your marriage. You say, well, I've already blown that, I've messed up, I've done this or I've done that. But I want you to understand the Bible tells us there's a way to be pure. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 that if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We talked a few weeks ago about steps to purity and how we can maintain purity in our lives, and gave you several steps for that. If you didn't hear that lesson, you need to go back and listen to the message on purity. You can get that on the internet. Number two, we said not only do you need to have purity in your marriage, number two, you need to have openness. Openness. There needs to be a willingness to communicate even when it's difficult. When you've got to talk about things you don't want to talk about. There are times you think, I just don't want to talk about this because I know what's going to happen. There's going to be an explosion. I don't want explosions. I would just like peace. And so I'm not going to talk about this. And then we have the quiet treatment. And then nobody knows what anybody's thinking because everybody's afraid that somebody's going to fly off the handle. And so there's not a willingness to have openness. So we need to have, if you're going to have a powerful marriage, you need to understand your spouse needs you to be pure. Number two, she or he needs for you to be open about how you feel. The third thing is, in this power outline, is that we need to have a willingness to forgive. We said the reason that is because every one of us sin. You're living with a sinner. Say that. I'm living with a sinner. One more time. I'm living with a sinner. Now you can say this. My spouse lives with a sinner too. Let's say that. My spouse lives with a sinner too. That's the reality. And the fact of the matter is, when two people in our culture or any culture get married, it is the union of two selfish, self-centered people. We are by nature selfish and self-centered. And so we have to learn this thing of forgiveness. The fact of the matter is, people get divorces. They say things like this. We don't love each other like we used to. That means she doesn't make me feel like she used to make me feel. Or he doesn't make me feel the way he used to make me feel. I'm not getting what I want out of this relationship. We don't remember that the Bible definition of love is unconditional care for somebody else. It's unconditional care for somebody else. I'm not giving what I'm getting. I'm giving what they need. And if I can understand that, then I am walking in love. So we don't fall out of that kind of love. We can walk away from that kind of love. We don't fall out of that kind of love. We don't fall into that kind of love. That kind of love is a choice. It's something that we determine we're going to do. I determine I'm going to love my wife. My wife used to say to me this. She used to say when we first got married, and we were having a time of struggle, she would say to me these words. She would say, David, I want you to know I love you, but it's an act of my will. It's a choice. I am doing this by choice because I wasn't being very loving at that time. I was being very unkind. And I'm sure at times, even today, she would think that, but she's kind to me and doesn't say that as often. And so, but we need to understand, we need to have a determination to forgive, and that is love. So we've gone all the way through in your book tonight. You will see where we've gone through, and we started through the willingness to forgive portion of this outline. We are on E, if you do not have it. We've talked about purity, we've talked about openness, and now we're talking about a willingness to forgive. E in your outline says this: the only way to remain married is to practice forgiveness or to live in bitterness. There are people who, 50 years ago, determined they were going to stay married because culture demanded that, or even 100 years ago, determined they were going to stay married because culture demanded that. And so they stayed married, but they were bitter towards their spouse. They were bitter, and they just lived a bitter, unhappy life. So you can choose to do that. Or you can determine, I am going to forgive my spouse. Here's what the Bible says about forgiveness. Here's what Jesus said about forgiveness in Matthew chapter 5. He says, "You have heard that it was said of them of old times, 'Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment.' But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause..." And let me just say that you might be thinking, well, I'm not angry without a cause. If you lived with him, you would have a cause. Every night you have a cause. Jesus is speaking about grace here. So that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Now listen, "And whosoever shall say to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, 'Thou fool,' shall be in danger of hell fire." He's saying, listen, if your brother is upset with you and says bad things about you because they're upset with you, they are in danger of hell fire. So what you should do is do everything you can to reconcile with your brother so you won't put your brother in a position where he's in danger of hell fire. See, the idea, Steve, is I can irritate you to a point where you get mad at me and you say, "Thou fool!" Well, now you're in danger of hellfire. And that's not good. So I should do, if you're mad at me, and I know you're mad at me, I should do everything I can to get you not mad at me so that you won't say, "Thou fool," so you won't be in danger of hellfire. That's the whole idea here. So Jesus says, Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there the gift before the altar. That is, if your brother's mad at you, go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. That is, you go and you make sure that you're right with your brother. Man, if we would have that attitude towards our spouse, I want to do whatever I need to do in order to be right with my spouse because I want to be right with God. The Bible tells us that a man who is not right with his wife in 1 Peter will have his prayers hindered. Wow. That's an amazing thing. I'm fighting with my wife and now my prayers are hindered. Why? Because all I'm thinking about is, well, I'm trying to talk to God. I'm thinking about, I can't believe she did that to me again. And I'm and God's not hearing your selfish, self-centered prayers. And vice versa would be the case. We need to understand how important it is that we seek forgiveness. So let's look at our outline. Seeking forgiveness means taking responsibility if there is an offense. Now, we covered this last week, or 2 weeks ago, and I really apologize. Over the last 2 weeks, I haven't been here. Last week, we had a family emergency. And by the way, for those of you who prayed for me last week, thank you. Somebody asked me how my brother's doing. My brother needs your prayers. He lost his wife. And he is not doing well with God and has walked away from God years and years ago. I believe he's saved, but he doesn't experience any of the blessings of God that he could have. In fact, there's chastening that I think is in his life continually. I don't think necessarily that God's after him. He said to me, "I think if I die and I stand in front of God, he's going to be awful mad at me." There's so many people who think of God as a big cop with a big stick who's out to get them. And I feel bad that my brother has that thought. But anyway, pray for him. Maybe I'll be able to get him to come to church. He actually has called me 2 or 3 times in the last couple of weeks, which is very, very unusual. So, but thank you for your prayers. So we were out the last couple of weeks, so I'm going to review just a little bit. Seeking forgiveness means taking responsibility. If there is an offense, I must assume my responsibility for the offense. I must say, if there's a problem between me and my wife, or if you're a wife, you and your husband, if there is a problem, then I need to take responsibility for my part of the offense. If my spouse, now this is an exaggeration, but if my spouse is 95% wrong, and most times we think that. Most times when we're fighting with our spouse, it's, he did it. I'd be fine if it wasn't for her. And I don't know how many people want to make appointments with Anna and I to talk about their spouse. And we say, well, you can only talk about your spouse if your spouse is here. Because if not, that's just gossip. You're just gossiping to the pastor instead of somebody else. I mean, I can't help your spouse if your spouse isn't here. And if you come in to ask me what I should do, I'm going to tell you what you should do to straighten yourself out. And you're not going to like it. But what I have to do is take responsibility. So if my spouse is 95% wrong and I'm only 5% wrong, I must assume 100% responsibility for my 5%. So I'm only 5% wrong. Well, then I need to say I'm responsible for that. I'm responsible for that. All I did was sit and listen to her. Yeah, but you listened like this. That's why she had to tell you 12 times. And that's why she has to keep repeating herself. I am 100% responsible for my 5% of the problem, and I have to take responsibility. This makes me 100% responsible for my response. The way I respond, I am responsible. I don't know how to respond. You need to pray and say, Lord, help me to respond in a kind way. Can I tell you that your wife has the same enemy that you have, and it's not you? Your husband has the same enemy that you have, and it's not her. The fact is, your enemy is Satan, and her enemy is Satan. Your spouse's enemy is Satan, and you need to say, okay, help me, Father, to respond properly. I should seek forgiveness for those areas where I was wrong, large or small. And if I don't, then I need to understand that I'm like the Pharisee in the story of the Pharisee and the publican. I'm saying, Lord, I thank you, God, that I'm not like my wife. She complains and she grumbles. I'm not like my husband. He leaves everything around. He's a slob. He doesn't, whatever it is that irritates you. All you're doing is condemning someone else who, if you're both Christians, is a child of God. It's a child of God. Some time ago, my wife reminded me, I want you to know I'm God's daughter and he doesn't like it when you treat me this way. Can you say amen to that? That's the truth, and I'm God's son. And God wants me to be treated right. And God wants her to be treated right. And we need to understand, we need to seek forgiveness for where we are, or we're the Pharisee in the situation. Next, in seeking forgiveness, I humble myself before God. And when I do that, I receive His grace. Wow. This is what I want. I want the grace of God. I want God's forgiveness in my life. I don't want to stand in front of God and think that I condemned everybody around me. In James chapter 4, the Bible says, do you think that the scripture saith in vain? Let me ask you a question. Are these verses in your notes? Good, because I want them to be, because I didn't want to take time to flip. We wouldn't get very far if we flipped to all these passages. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. You see, what he's saying, within us, there is a spirit. We have to deal with this flesh. And here's what my flesh wants. My flesh wants what I want. I want my wife, when I come home, to say, What can I do for you, honey? Here it is, honey. Whatever you want. I've been thinking about you all day long. And I just want you to know nobody is as important to me as you. And here, what do you want? Let me give you a big kiss. And then I've got your favorite meal. That's what I want. That's because the spirit in me lusts to envy. That is, I have to deal with demonic spirits and I have to deal with my flesh that wants me to do wrong things. So he says, but God giveth more grace. God will give you grace to overcome that. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And that's not talking about your husbands, lady. Resist the devil, and he will flee far from you. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. The idea is this. I need to, when I am being criticized, I need to say, Lord, let me learn from this thing and help me not to be as the Pharisee who's got to defend myself for myself. And by the way, I want you to understand, I am by nature self-defensive, and I'm going to explain to you why in just a few minutes. I'm seeking forgiveness. I'm humbling myself before God, and I'm humbling myself before my spouse. In refusing to take responsibility, I walk in pride. And when I walk in pride, then God resists me. The Bible says this, that when I'm walking in pride, it's because of contention. It brings contention. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10 says, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. So you come home and your shoes are dirty. You just come home, you go walking in your house, and your wife says to you, what? I've told you like 20 times, could you please take off your shoes before you come into the house? Look at what you've done. You've tracked up my entire house. Look what you've done. And what happens in your mind? You think, I was just working all day long. And sure, I've got mud on my feet because I was out stomping through the mud to make money to bring home to you. And now and what happens? We are not listening and we're not thinking, you know what? I was inconsiderate. I was thoughtless. I was only thinking about myself. Wasn't it natural to think about yourself? Exactly. But it's wrong. What God wants us to do is exhibit his love to our spouse. And I need to understand when she's telling me that my shoes are a mess, or when he comes home and you've done something very nice for him and he doesn't even recognize it. And he then begins to criticize you. Wow, you need to say, this guy's had a rough day. Or when she comes home, you need to think about her. Years ago, I heard a preacher named Bob Stone. He said this. He said that as he was driving home in the evening, he got to a certain place where he decided it was a certain store that he looked at. And I started doing this. There was a certain store that he looked at. When he looked at that store on the way home, it reminded him, I'm going to stop thinking about the office, and I'm going to stop thinking about myself, and I'm going to start thinking about my wife and her needs. And man, he said it totally changed when I went home. When I got home then, I wasn't thinking she should be caring about me. She should be thinking about me. I was thinking by the time I got home, what can I do for her? And he said, so often when I got there was a whole lot that I could do for her. That's where God wants us to be. That's thinking like Jesus, who became a man so he could die for you and me. Pride brings contention. The Bible says only by pride in Proverbs 13 cometh contention. But with the well-advised is wisdom. When I'm defending myself, because I've been justly or unjustly condemned, then I am walking in pride, and that brings contention. It also, pride brings resistance from God. It brings resistance from God. In James chapter 4, it says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore, God He saith, God resisteth the proud and gives grace unto the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, under yourselves, therefore, to God, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So the idea is this. You want God to give you grace, but here's what God's doing to you. Because you're too proud to admit that you could ever do anything wrong. You're too proud to say, this could be partly my fault. You're too proud to humble yourself before your wife. And so when your pride gets lifted up, and Satan knows this. And that's why Satan puts you in this position. And so that you're in a position where God isn't saying, oh, come here, I'll give you grace. But what he's doing is he's pushing you away because he's resisting you. So you don't have the help of God in the midst of conflict. Why? Because of your stinking pride. When you're on your knees and saying, God, would you just show him that he's just a jerk? Well, God's not hearing that. He's resisting you. When you're on your knees saying something to God about her, then he's resisting you. Instead of you saying, Lord, what can I do to be a help? Because he is having a tough time, or she's having a tough time. You see, well, man, this is difficult. I'm going to share with you what I'm going to share with you over the next 15 minutes is going to be some of the most difficult stuff you've ever heard, because it's not easy to walk a selfless life. And when we're talking about a willingness to forgive, we're talking about a selfless life. Forgiveness needs to be practiced when your spouse sins against you. When your spouse sins against you, that doesn't mean that there's not consequences before God and other places. But you need to practice forgiveness. And I want to tell you this, you need to practice it for your own sake. But your spouse needs your forgiveness. Your spouse needs you for your forgiveness. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15, it says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. So what am I supposed to do when my husband or my wife sins against me? I'm not supposed to go and tell my mother and my father and my aunt and my uncle and the lady I live next door to. And I'm not supposed to get together with all the other women, or I'm not supposed to get together with a bunch of other guys and say, yeah, you know, the old ladies, it's just, that's the way they are. They're just, oh, no, no. They don't need that. You don't need that. What your friends need is to see how a man should love his wife, not criticize his wife. You need to become the example. Forgiveness is only necessary. Listen to this. Forgiveness is only necessary because someone has done wrong. We say, well, you don't know. I've had so many people say to me, well, you don't know how hard it is to forgive. You don't know what they've done. The only reason somebody needs forgiveness is because they've done wrong. Can I tell you that? Can you understand? That's why God says to forgive. And by the way, God commands us to forgive. And the reason God commands us, Chris, to forgive is because God knows that we're going to be offended. And so we have to make a definite choice to forgive. If you were never hurt, you would not need to forgive. If you were never hurt, you wouldn't need to forgive. So how do I forgive? Take these steps. This is so important. Number one, remember that forgiveness is an act of your will. It is not an emotion. I can remember years ago when I was battling with this as a pastor, somebody had criticized me. And I just, that really broke my heart because I thought, you know, to know me is to love me. And they didn't know me that well, but they were criticizing me and they were bad-mouthing me and they said terrible things to other people about me. And I thought, how can they do that? And all I've done is I've helped them, and but they're criticizing me. And I remember laying in bed saying, Lord, how do I forgive them? And I was thinking this, that forgiveness is an emotion. Forgiveness is a feeling that I feel. And I was thinking, I wasn't thinking, how do I forgive them? I was thinking, how do I get rid of this bad feeling about them? Well, listen, forgiveness has nothing to do with your feelings. Forgiveness is a choice that you make. Can I say that? Forgiveness is a choice. Say that with me. Forgiveness is a choice. Somebody, you need to say that out loud with me and let it get into your minds. Forgiveness is a choice. One more time. Forgiveness is a choice. It has nothing to do with your emotions. I laid there in bed thinking about that, and God gave me that truth. And I said, Lord, and I called this man's name out. I said, I want you to know, I choose to forgive, and I called the name. And man, it was like a burden began to lift, and I realized, wow, this is a choice. And I said, Father, I just want you to know, and I said it again, and I said it again, and I said it again. And I'm telling you, all of a sudden, I felt a total release in my spirit because I realized at that point I could forgive. And what was happening was that man's bitterness towards me that he had spread to other people was holding me in bondage. Because I thought I was feeling bad because of what he had said, and others were thinking about me because of what he had said. And I thought, I'm not going to let that happen. And it was at that point that I determined in my life, I'm not going to let anybody else ruin my life by me being bitter at them. And I have just, when a bad feeling comes on my life because somebody's doing something, I say out loud, Father, I want you to know, I forgive, and I name that name. I forgive that person. I forgive that person. There will be times that you're living your life and somebody's from 20 years ago will pop into your mind and Satan will say, wasn't that guy a creep? And at that moment, you know what you have to do? You have to say, God, I've forgiven that person. I've forgiven that person. But that's not the hard one. The hard one, Jeremy, is the guy that you live, that you work with tomorrow. And every day is a jerk. And you have to forgive him every day, and you have to forgive him every day, and you have to forgive him every day, because every day he's the jerk. And sometimes, ladies, it's that guy that you live with, that you've been married to, and every day you have to forgive him. Remember, forgiveness is an act of your will. It is not an emotion. Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, the Bible says, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his garments. He said that on the cross. He didn't feel good about that. He just made a decision to forgive and to pray to God for our forgiveness. Number two, remember God forgave your sins. First thing is this, to remember that forgiveness is an act of your will, not an emotion. Number two, remember God forgave your sins. This will really help you. When you remember you deserve to go to hell, and whatever you get from somebody else is a whole lot better than hell. Remember God forgave your sins. Number three, confess to God, catch this, confess to God that unforgiveness is sin and ask Him for forgiveness. So what do? I say, Lord, you know, I am bitter at this person and I'm not forgiving them. And it is sin for me not to forgive that person. Well, you don't understand. I was abused by a person when I was... It's sin for you not to forgive. See, but I can't forget. You know, God never told you to forget. You don't have to forgive if you can forget. God wants you to forgive those things you remember. I forgive that person. You know, there are people that are bitter at their moms. There are people that are bitter at their dads. People that are bitter at their uncles, their aunts. There are people that are bitter at all sorts of people. We'll see that in just a minute. Remember, God forgave your sins. Confess to God that unforgiveness is sin and ask Him for forgiveness. Number four, thank God for His forgiveness and rejoice that He has given you the opportunity to forgive others. You see, when we forgive others, we reflect the love of God. Somebody comes to you and says, I want to ask you to forgive me. And you say, I love you. I forgive you. I went to somebody one time. I said, I want to ask you to forgive me. They said, I want you to understand, I forgave you the moment you did that thing. Now, at that point, I said, well, let me tell you about what you did to me. You know, why I did that thing. But the truth of the matter is that should be the case. Jake, I should be willing to forgive. I should be forgiving somebody the moment they do something wrong to me. I forgive them. That doesn't mean they're not, people don't suffer consequences for things that they've done wrong. But I want you to understand, when you've been, when if you have a heart of forgiveness towards someone, when they get what's coming to them, your heart will go out to them. Your heart will go out to them, and you won't be bitter towards them. In fact, you'll feel for them. Forgiveness is an opportunity for you to reflect His love. It is an opportunity. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48, it says, "You've heard that it's been said." I've already read this part, so I'm not going to read through that again. God wants us to forgive. Let me go down to the middle part of this. It says, "For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? If you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? For ye were, be therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." That is, show the perfect love of God by forgiving everyone, not just those who treat you good. Now, Peter, in a conversation with Jesus, asked the question, "How often do I forgive? How often do I forgive?" In Matthew chapter 18, let's read it together. It says, Then came Peter to him and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" That's pretty generous. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. That doesn't mean you're supposed to count to 490 times. That's not what it means. Okay, here at 489, I'm waiting one more time. Then I'm going to pop you. No, that's not the idea. "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which had taken count of his servants. And when he began to reckon, one brought unto him which he owed 10,000 talents. But for as much as he was not able to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him." Okay, you don't have to pay it. You have so much you can't pay. I have compassion on you, and I won't make you pay. Well, the story goes on to say that he went out then, found a fellow servant who owed him a little bit of money, and said, "Pay me." And the guy said, "No." And he grabbed him and said, "You'll pay me or you're going to go to jail." And the other servants went back and told the master, and the master gets really mad because he forgave him all this debt, and he wouldn't forgive his fellow servant. And the idea is that you and me, God's forgiven you everything. You don't have to go to hell. He suffered hell for you on the cross. And now you're going to get mad because your brother stole something from you. Your brother mistreated you. Your brother lied to you. Your brother did something to you. Hey, if God can forgive you all the debt you owe him, then you should be able to forgive everyone. How often should I forgive? Here's the answers to this. Number one, every time he asks. Every time he asks. And number two, I should forgive instantly. Instantly. Look, as soon as somebody sins against me, I need to forgive them. Now, the question is, why is it so hard for me to forgive? Why is it so hard for me to give? Let me share with you some really important things. Number one, you have not seen the wickedness of your own sin. Because we have a way of the Bible says, deceiving ourselves. See, we say this. The Bible says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. I can deceive myself into thinking I'm a pretty good Joe. Somebody comes up and says, "You're just wonderful. You are just such a good man." And I say, I'm glad you recognize greatness. That's the way it is. We like being patted on the back. We like to be praised. And if somebody praises us, we'll receive that really. Yeah, okay, good, I need that. I told my wife, we were talking the other day, there's a good book called The Five Love Languages. And I've been married to my wife for 41 years. I've just realized her love language is touch. She just likes to be touched. She likes to be touched. So I put my hand on her head, and she says, "Don't mess up my hair." But she just likes to be touched. That's her love language. My love language is words of affirmation. So I can say, "Hey, you're a wonderful lady. You're a wonderful lady." That's not going to do a whole lot. That's good. Her love language is touch. So that's why she's always touching me, because that's the way she loves. She touches me. But, "Hey, you want me to rub your back?" And, you know, I say, "I'm trying to sleep." And, you know, that type of thing. So, but her love language is touch. My love language is words of affirmation, which means if somebody comes up to me and says, "You're a dirty dog," I eat that and it drives me nuts. And I'm trying to think, why am I a dirty dog? And it really eats at me. What's the problem? We soak in words of affirmation, but we don't, it's hard for us to even admit that we sin. We don't see our own sinfulness as sinfulness. We don't see, why is a guy so sloppy and he comes in and he drops things day after day, week after week, week, year after year, and his wife says, "Would you please not do that? Would you please not do that?" Because he doesn't see it as sin against his wife. He doesn't see it as making her be the slave. He doesn't see it as her, that it's inconsideration. He doesn't see that as sin. So he keeps doing it. So we don't see our own wickedness. We don't see our problems. So the Bible says this. Paul said this about himself: "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" We need to see our own sinfulness. Number two, this is why we find it hard to forgive. You have denied your own sin so long and are deceiving yourself and calling God a liar. That's what it says in John 1:8. 1 John 1:8. "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. His word's not in us." So we've not seen our own, the wickedness of our own sin, and then we deny our sin. And then number three, this is a form of self-defense that we use when we have a wrong self-image. We don't see ourselves the right way. So this is very, very important. This is very significant. You need to grab this. Here's wrong thinking. This is wrong thinking. "I'm only worth something if I'm good." I've told you this before. When I was a little kid, I used to pray, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep if I should die before I wake." And then after my mom was gone, I'd say, "God, I'll be good tomorrow. Please let me be good tomorrow. I'll be good tomorrow. Let me live through till tomorrow, because I don't want to die tonight, because I know I've not been good." I'm only worth something, I think, wrong thinking, I'm only worth something if I'm good. Let me tell you something, you're worth something to God and you're no good. Number two, if I have done anything wrong, I can't be good. Therefore, I'm worthless. Understand? If I have done anything wrong, I can't be good. So I'm thinking wrong. I'm only worth something if I'm good. And if I've done anything wrong, I can't be good. Number three, if I'm not good, no one, including God, will love me. If I'm not good, then no one, including God, will love me. And can I tell you this? We say to our children, "You be good or God's going to be mad at you." It's a bad thing to say to kids. Tells them that God only loves them if they're good, and God loves them when they're bad. He doesn't like their actions, but we don't teach kids, you've got to be good or God's not going to love you. So if I'm not good, no one, including God, will love me. Number four, I must hide my sin so people will not know I am bad, and then they will love me, and so will God. See that? I must hide my sin so people will not know that I'm bad, and then they will love me, and so will God. Now, it may be that some people won't love you when you're bad, but God will. Can you say amen to that? Then, lastly, I must deny what I have done is wrong, or I lose the fight to prove that I am good, and everyone will have the right not to love me. Wrong thinking. That wrong thinking leads to defensiveness on my part, and I am not willing to admit that I have done anything wrong in the relationship. And I get mad at others when somebody points out my wrong, or when I have to be the one who is continually saying, I'm sorry, I blew it again. Why? Because that means that I'm not worth anything because I'm not good. And if I'm not good, then nobody, including God, loves me. And so I've got to hide my sin so that nobody will know. And if somebody points out my sin, I've got to say, no, it wasn't sin. It wasn't sin. You have a right to still love me. I'm okay. It wasn't sin. That was wrong thinking. Here's right thinking. Let me give you right thinking. Number one, God loves sinners. Say amen to that. Romans 3:10 says, as is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If God won't love sinners, then he has no one to love except himself. God loves sinners. That's right thinking. Therefore, number two, God loves me. Isn't that great? Say that with me. God loves sinners. God loves sinners. Say it one more time. God loves sinners. Therefore, let's say this. God loves me. Let's say it again. God loves me. That's so good. God loves sinners, so God loves me. Number three, his love includes forgiveness of my sin. His love includes forgiveness of my sin. Number four, I'm cleansed and holy in his sight if I confess my sin. The only way I can be holy in the sight of God is if I confess my sin. I am cleansed and holy in his sight if I confess my sin. Now, here's the bottom line. Since I have accepted his love and forgiveness, I am free to love and forgive others. Since I have accepted his love and forgiveness, I am free to love others. I would encourage you just to take the last two pages of this and review those notes over and over again. There's something wonderfully freeing about admitting to God, I've sinned and you love me, and I want you to know I'm going to love others. And I recognize you love me even though I've sinned. And I'm going to be real. When that happens, you can become genuine in your relationship with others. Now let's finish this. Number four. You may have a root of bitterness you need to get right. So what's a root of bitterness? That means that sometime in your life in the past, something has affected you and you got bitter at somebody and never got that right. Hebrews chapter 12 says this, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now here's the deal. Catch this. Andrew, my job as a Christian on this planet is to let other people see the Lord in my life. But if I'm not at peace with all men, and if I'm not living holy, and if I'm not at peace, then there's an unholiness about my life. Therefore, no one is going to see the Lord in my life. I must be at peace with other people, and I must live a holy life in order for other people to see God in me. Where I work, people see God in me. Where I live, people see God in me. For my spouse, she sees God in me. For the ladies, God sees, your husband sees God in you. That's not going to happen unless you follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man will see the Lord. Now, what keeps me from following peace with all men? And what keeps me from his holiness? Here it is. Look what it says. looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. If I am one who has a root of bitterness in me, then it's going to defile many, because I might have it hidden, but man, something comes up, and man, I have to cover my sin, and when I'm covering my sin, trying to make sure that you know that I'm good, and I can't confess some hurt that I have in the past, and I haven't taken care of that lack of forgiveness, then bitterness is there, and when I'm confronted about something, it comes up, and it can defile all sorts of people. It can defile your spouse. It can defile your children. It can defile the people you work with. You just come out like a lion, and it hurts all sorts of people. Why? Because you have a root of bitterness. How can I tell if I have a root of bitterness? All I have to do is say, am I at peace with all men? Is there somebody that when I think about them, I just think, oh, I hope God gets them. And maybe you won't say it just exactly like that, but there's a stirring in your heart. And you think, what will you do with that? Here's what you do with that. You say out loud, God, I think there's a root of bitterness, and I want you to know I choose to forgive them. I choose to forgive them. Now, let me explain something. That does not mean that if you've forgiven them that you put yourself back in a position where they can hurt you again. But it does mean you choose to forgive them, and you're going to treat them right no matter how they treat you. You're going to treat them right. That's a choice you make. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man will see the Lord. And make sure if there's a root of bitterness inside of you, you confess that so that he can use you. Ask God to examine your heart. Ask God to examine your heart. In Psalm 139 and verses 23 and 24, it says, David prayed, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the path, in the way everlasting. Can I tell you this? That you can go back, I can go back to my childhood, and I can think of people that were terrible to me. I can go back throughout my life. I'm 63 years old. I know I look like I'm 28, but I'm 63 years old. Why do you laugh? In 63 years, you're going to have people that are going to say terrible things to you and do things to you. And I don't care if you're 15 years old. Somebody's going to have said something and done something bad. If you allow bitterness there, it'll destroy you. Search me, Lord. Show me if there's anything wicked thing in me so that I can confess it. Lord, you know, I have a root of bitterness towards that person. There are some people that need to go back and say, Lord, I forgive my father for the way he treated me. Lord, I forgive my mother for the way she treated me. Lord, I forgive my brother for what he did to me. Lord, I forgive my sister for how she treated me. We just have to go back and say, I forgive them. When you do that, when you go to God and you say, show me if there's any wicked thing in me. Now, catch this. This is really, really important. Because you could pray that and not get your prayers answered. You could say, God, show me if there's any wicked thing. He will not do that unless you go to him in faith. The Bible says that we need to ask in faith, nothing wavering. What does that mean? James 1:5 says this. If any of you lack wisdom, you can't understand why you're always angry. You can't understand why you're so demanding. You can't understand why it is that there's certain things in your life that you can't give up. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. See, here's the deal. And I'm going to go through this quickly because I've got to end. You must really want to know the truth. Lord, I really want to know the truth. Show me if there's something that's causing me to be at peace, not to be at peace with you and with all men. You must really want to know the truth, because God's not going to reveal to you truth so you can say, oh, I don't believe that. Number two, the truth will not point its finger at someone else, but the truth will point its finger at you. See, when we're deceiving ourselves, we say, yes, I did that, but it's because he did that to me. Yes, I did that, but it's because she did that to me. Wow. The truth will not point its finger at someone else, but it'll point its finger at you. So God will say, you need to confess that sin. Well, that person did this to me. Yes, but you need to confess your bitterness about that. I told you this is tough stuff. Number two, confess any past unresolved conflicts. Any past unresolved conflicts to God, get mad at God. I used to be mad at God because my teeth were crooked. I was when I was 13 years old, my sister was dating a 16-year-old guy. I still remember his name was Randy. Randy looked at me first time he met me, and he said, whoa. He said, I'd hate to meet you with a cape in a dark alley. He called me a vampire. And that's when being a vampire wasn't popular. He compared me to Count Dracula. I stopped smiling. If from that point on, if you go back and you look at my pictures throughout junior high and high school, never smiled. Because I thought, I don't want to be named Fang. Upset because God let me be something I didn't want him to let me be. He's in control. Why did he give me crooked teeth? I tell people my mom was Dutch and German, and I think Scotch or Irish or something, or maybe she drank Scotch. No, Scotch or Irish. So she had that, and then my dad was Lebanese and Italian. I said, this is what happens when you put an Italian mouth on a Dutch face, you know, or vice versa. Anyway, I don't know. It's like you can get mad at God because he didn't do to you what you want him to do. You may be bitter at him because he's not done something for you. You need to confess any past unresolved conflicts with God, to your parents. Maybe God says, you know, you got some things that you are wrong with your parents. Maybe your parents are already gone and you'd say, Lord, you know, I was upset with my parents about this or that. And God, I want you to know I didn't treat them right. To your siblings. If you've done things wrong to your siblings, you should confess those things. Not in a letter, on a vocal basis. Say, hey, I want to confess those things. To your ex-spouse. You know, the way I treated you wasn't right. I want to confess that. Confess it to God. And what God will say is confess it to that person. Get that right. To former friends. Had a guy wrote an eight-page letter telling me what a jerk I was. And man, I just wanted to go punch the guy. So instead, I called a friend of mine who was a Christian psychologist. I said, what do I do? He said, what I want you to do is thank God that guy told you that, because maybe it's something you need to learn. And he said, secondly, you go to that guy and you thank him for writing the letter and say, is there anything else you'd like to share with me? I thought you were my friend. What are you telling me? I mean, this guy just told me I was terrible. Maybe you needed to hear that. It was early in my ministry. It's not the letter you sent to me last week, Roger. It's a different letter. To former friends. So I went to that guy. By the way, I went to that guy and I said, I just want to thank you for taking time to write this letter. I know it must have been a hard thing for you to do. And obviously I've treated you in a way I didn't want to treat you. So please forgive me. And could I take you out for dinner, you and your wife? And would you be willing to share with me other things I need to correct in my life? See, why did you do that? Because it was right. It wasn't because I felt like it. God used that. Maybe to former employees or employers. You need to confess any past unresolved conflicts to God, to your parents, to your siblings, to your ex-spouse, to your former friends, and to former employees, or whatever, etc., etc., etc. When past sins are confessed and there is an openness with God about who you are and what has taken place in your life, this is you and God. You are transparent before God and able to accept His love. You then have the ability to receive and experience His forgiveness and cleansing. As a clean, open, and forgiven person, you will have the ability to forgive others who hurt you, and you will have the ability to show forgiveness to your spouse. I'm just telling you, I want you to take this home. I want you to think about this, because this is key to us reflecting the love of God in our families. Here's the deal. You live with a sinner, and so does your spouse. The Bible says we're all sinners, and because we're sinners, we deserve to go to hell. But God loves us. He sent His Son to suffer and die and pay for our sins. He was buried 3 days later. Jesus rose from the dead, proving that He was God. He's willing to forgive us of all of our sin. All we have to do is say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know that You are God. I know that You died for me so that I could have eternal life. I believe You rose from the dead, and I want to receive what You've done for me. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, that's how easy He makes it for us to get to heaven. That's how easy you should make it for anybody to ask forgiveness from you. Don't withhold forgiveness. Be willing to forgive, because God was willing to forgive you. Father, help us to take what we've heard. Help us to apply it to our lives. Father, with our spouses, with everybody that we come in contact with, God, we need to be forgiving. And I pray, Father, You help us to live a life that forgives and encourages others.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.